Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 20th, 2006. Fall Fun Drive. I'm Todd Gleason. Dial the number now, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. And pledge your financial support to this radio station. We recommend the $100 level. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In between, we'll ask you to support this station, but we'll also take up the topic of sexing semen. That's right, I said it. Sexing semen. We'll hear some news from the University of Illinois on that particular event. It's our fall fun drive, and this time around it won't last long. I just got the pun there. We've shortened the drive in order to keep the programs you know and love coming at you in full force. We want you to come at us in full force, too. Just dial 217-244-9455 or hit willpledge.org. That's 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to the radio station that brings you agricultural programming not one, not three, not five, but 6 days a week. Right here on AM 580.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 505, off 8 cents today. The March contract unchanged at 524 and a half. December Kansas City wheat at 531, up a penny for the day. December corn futures at 312 and three quarters, down 3 1/4 for the day. The March futures at 324 and three quarters, off 2 1/4. The May contract at 331 and a half, off a penny and a half. And July futures were down 1 cent at 336 and one half. November soybeans, 606 and a half, off a penny and a half. January futures at 620 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. And the March contract at 628, down 0.75 cents. November next year, 658. The settlement price there, down 1 1/4 for the day. December bean meal futures, 180.40. They're up $1.70. December bean oil futures at 26.17, down 37. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange, October contract, $106.32 a hundredweight. They were off 37.5 cents. October live cattle at 87.67 and a half, down 20. And December futures down 12.5 at 87.07 and a half for the live cattle. Lean hogs finished the December contract at $59.35, up 67.5 cents for the week, or for the day rather. Crude oil futures now in the outside markets trading at $56.90. They're off $1.60. The CRB index at 305.75, down 2.22. The dollar at 86.29, that's up 0.03. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,003. That's down 8.64 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, and maybe to raise just a little bit of money for the radio station, is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Do you know the number to call? Do you remember it off the top of your head?
Yes, I dial the regular number so I can talk to Dee and Joan. They're always so friendly there. So we call 217-333-0850, and they'll take your pledge there, too.
Yeah, they will. If you want to do it right away, it's 217-244-9455, and you can do that while Mike and I are talking. But you can listen for just a bit, and then we'll get around to the idea that we really want you to pledge your financial support to this radio station. Mike, let's start off with what you made of the week's trade. I was taking a look at the numbers as we were figuring them for commodity week. And of course, we work on the weekly trades there as opposed to the dailies. December wheat off 20.5 cents this week. July futures, though, were up 3.5. Corn futures holding really strong. December corn, after making a new contract high, down just a penny and 3/4 from last Friday's settlement price. December next year up 4 1/4 cents. The beans rallied 15 cents this week in the nearby Noves, and the FAR deferreds up 8 3/4 for the week. What'd you make of the week trade?
Well, most of it with the corn market especially seemed to us to be, this was where corn lacked its own identity this week, and it really got tagged with the wheat fundamentals and the wheat technicals pretty much all week long, and the spread showed that as well, with the corn-wheat spread correcting from last week's crazy run-up and historical levels it hit. But one thing we did want to point out, I think, today, Todd, is the weather next week could change the fact fact that corn didn't have any of its own identity this week. It may get its own identity next week because Chicago was looking for a pretty open week next week in harvest. And what we would say is those models are starting to change. Harvest progress, although it's only behind the five-year average by about 2% as of Monday's numbers, we're behind last year 7%, and every bushel counts. And it seemed as though to me and us here as a whole that when we talked to Chicago later in the week, they started talking more about more harvest delays, how much are we going to leave in the field, what are we going to do if there's more disappearance than in a normal year. And I think that's something that may come to fruition next week, especially as we get closer and closer to that Halloween time frame. If we have to push corn harvest, and especially the last 50% of it, into November, and standability becomes an issue because we turn cold and then very, very wet, which some of these models are starting to show that, then you've got an issue where the corn trader may turn friendly once again. And I think piling on top of that is if the wheat technicals have done their thing and the spreads have done their things. And then thirdly, Argentina, the number two corn exporter in the world, they just came out and reported they're at 45% harvested as of Wednesday. That's 11% behind last year, and they're trying to plant about 7% more corn versus last year. So the key this next week will be the weather in terms of whether the corn seeks its own identity or not and finds a base of support and doesn't need to correct anymore.
Well, let's say that the weather pans out in favor of the farmer. Well, relatively speaking, in terms of him getting, either way, it's going to pan out in the way of in favor of the farmer, right? Either he's going to get his crop harvested, or he's going to have a higher price. One of the two. But let's say it pans out that he gets his crop harvested and crop moves along relatively at a rapid pace next week. Are we looking at what has been termed, I think, most of the time this week as a pause in the corn market, and what does that really mean in terms of cents?
Yeah, a pause would be a good way to describe it. You know, if we go ahead with corn harvest pace and the wheat doesn't find any support and the spreads in wheat stay weak, then Monday's low in Dease corn of 309 and a quarter really becomes a target probably for the trade and a downside objective to test the conviction of the long. I will have to say one of the things we've been watching very closely during this run-up, because it was a big issue in 95-96 from what we remember, was and this would be the most negative fundamental issue out there this week that we saw, was the fact that the export sales report showed cancellations in both wheat and corn, and the market assumes that is due to high prices. We think they're assuming right. You don't want to see that week after week after week, especially if corn harvest continues on with a fairly rapid pace. So, yes, if we got a good pace of harvest going again and the weather dried out, Monday's low is vulnerable, and if we would take that out, then you can start talking about the retracements and the gaps that Dave was talking about this morning.
And then when you do that, are you looking to take advantage of cash sales at this point?
No. I think what we're at, because we only have about 10 to 15% of 06 corn left to sell anyway in the cash, I think what we've made the commitment to is we don't want to let go of any more cash until we get some known cost re-ownership on the books, and that serves two purposes. One, we don't want to be triple long. We don't want to be long 06 corn, not sold in 07 corn, and long call. So we want to get the 06 sold, and we have done a lot of that. Now we're coming back in to be able to buy some known cost March, May, and July calls as the market falls in anticipation of one more move or two more moves higher in the Dease 07 to be able to get some 07 sales made. But I think the best thing that we can say to the producer, other than what we said this morning about as far as the market's concerned, the supplies are still going down in the world wheat and corn stocks right now until the USDA says otherwise in November or December or whenever. The other thing we have to go back to is, are we getting enough acres right now in the corn? And the market's not going to feel very secure about that. There is even talk switching to wheat. There is even talk on the close today that one of the reasons why July wheat was stronger than December was, other than just the normal spread traders out there, was that the eastern wheat belt didn't get their wheat planted like they wanted because of wet weather. There's an issue where the trade's probably going to have to keep prices up pretty high to be able to assure acres, and that we suspect that'll have to last all the way into the holidays because the farmer is going back and forth. I mean, you look at natural gas prices, they're up 34%. Corn's up 35% versus last month, you know, in the last 30 days. So if you haven't locked anhydrous in, you're getting dinged with your anhydrous price, your nitrogen price, along with your corn rally helping you.
What'd you hear on price? I think I heard 4.25 at one point for anhydrous.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing as well.
Yeah. I do want to go on and and explore the acreage thing just a bit more, but I do have to ask you, because you started talking about you didn't want to own more than 3 crop years or something like that at the point. So let's throw 07 out. So that's one crop. But where are you on the 06 crop? How many crops do you own at this point? How much cash have you got sold?
We've got the 85% level hit on the cash sales in 06, and we've got 25% of our 06 corn bought back in March calls, and that was based upon the earlier sales at the 252-258 D's futures level. That's where we made a 25% increment.
So you own 40% of a crop then at this point?
That's right.
Okay. I just wanted to check in because those numbers bounce around a lot. And
you bet. No,
sometimes these brokers and hedgers and all those guys,
they
can be wrong 3
sure.
or 4 crops at the same time.
That's what happened in 95, 96. Yeah. We got ahead of ourselves. We held 96 or 95 crop. We didn't sell 96 crop, and we bought calls for, you know, these 96, and we literally did hold 3 crop years. And, we're worried about a very similar turnout, so we're trying to stay straight, so keep us straight.
All right. Okay, now let's go back to this acreage thing, because this is where things really turn. How many different sources have you looked at to say how many acres we truly need to support the burgeoning ethanol industry and the demand that is expected next year? Mm-hmm. And can you come up with a figure that seems to work properly?
Yeah, we would say that if you use the most recent USDA and RFA data of ground of ethanol plants that have broken ground,
uh-huh,
and that will be up and running by mid-07, then you are looking at a situation of needing, at a minimum, about 3 to 4 million acres and about 155 to 157 national average yield to be able to keep carryover above 500 million bushels next year.
Well, that sounds easier to do. Actually, that sounds fairly easy to do.
Well, and I'm trying to say that in 95, 96, you had a total consumption fall. We talked about that last week where the demand went down on high prices, and we're trying to factor that in. That's why our numbers seem a little bit more pleasing to the eye than what maybe some of the other folks out there that are working off of right now.
You mean in terms of total acreage?
Yes, that's right. We aren't going out there and professing the idea we need 10 million more acres or we need 8 million more acres to not go to a zero carryover. We don't believe that to be the case. But we do absolutely need 3 to 4 million more corn acres at about a 157 yield to be able to not have carryover go below 500. And when you talk about going below 500, that to the trade means it's zero. And that to the trade means we've got a ration. And so I think that's what it goes back to, is we're trying to be conservative in our estimate. But even with the conservative estimate, you've got a big, big issue out there to have to go to put your hands around. And I think it goes back to the CRP. You know a lot about this, Todd. The CRP, even if USDA brings it out, that doesn't mean the producers and the landowners are going to work it into corn. That would be the most expensive, probably the lowest yielding crop to put into a first year CRP that hadn't been worked in 7 years. So how realistic is that? So these issues have to stay in the price, in our opinion.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the sides of the waterway and the filter strips might come out fairly easily, and depending on whether you're getting paid for those or not.
You bet, but that's not going to give you a 157 national average yield either. That's going to be that's going to be the ground.
Actually, I heard you say 150 on a 3 or 4 million acre
increase. No, 155
to begin with, but I thought, holy smokes.
No, 155 to 160, so 157 for all practical purposes.
Okay. You know what we ought to do now?
Fundraise.
I think it's time to fundraise, don't you? I think it really is. You know, we talk a lot about the markets each and every day here at the radio station with Mike Zuzolo and with Zwicker and Cooley and all sorts of folks. You don't get this kind of information in at least my opinion, many other places. I'm not sure they get it anywhere else, actually, on the radio. In fact, I'm certain that that's not the case. And if it's important to you, I think now's the time to show it to the radio station. They've shortened up the fund drive. Usually the ag folks sort of come along at the end. They make Dave and I sweat. We can't do that this time around. We've shortened up the fund drive, so we really need you to pick up the phone and dial now at this number, 217-244-9455. They're standing by waiting for you to call. This only takes about, 90 seconds or so. You probably could do it as you're going from one end of the field to the other on your mobile phone in the combine, as long as you pay a little attention to what's happening in front of you. Don't do it on the end rows or if you're trying to load on the go, though. 217-244-9455, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, all acceptable here at the radio station. You can just pledge that support if you want. Write us a check later. All you need to do is call us and tell us you now that you value the ag programming here at the radio station. And we want you to do that right now. The number to call is 217-244-9455. What kind of value do you think that you get out of the radio station? Is it important to you? Does it make a difference in the way you market? I bet it does. The number, 217-244-9455. Do you hear, by the way, Mike Zuzolo, that it makes a difference in the way guys think about the marketplace?
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, whether you're talking about TV or radio or anything, I think the value-added stuff that you guys do with the panel meetings, you go into Western Illinois and Dave goes into Eastern Illinois and you guys go into Northern and Southern Illinois. I think the bottom line for me is when I see some of the programming other than Will Radio, I see that maybe the other analysts that are on the same program don't have a very good relationship with one another, and therefore they tend to fit each other together and say the same thing. All three of them line up and agree all the time, and you just don't find that on the Will Radio programming because all the analysts respect each other's opinions, but they also feel comfortable enough with each other that no one's going to get upset if one disagrees with the other one, because most of the time we all have very valid reasons for our opinions. And some may say, well, that just confuses the issue more. But in my mindset, that doesn't do anything but clear things up, because then you can weigh everything so much better as opposed to have three people just go, yes, I'm bullish, yes, I'm bullish, yes, I'm bullish, and they're doing it just because they're on the same program together. If they do that at Will Radio on the programming, it's because they really believe it, not because they're not secure with the relationship with one another.
Yeah, and then that's about the time I say, well, if everybody's bullish, maybe we better turn it around. And
yeah, or you come out and you say, okay, so you've gone long futures, and then we say, oh, no, we didn't say that.
Okay, so the number to call is 217-244-9455. We really do think that it's important that you get a number of voices, that you're able to hear a lot of folks talk about the marketplace during the week. You know, we know that for every penny the market moves, that's $50. And if you raise, quite a bit of corn, that tends to move the market, move your back pocket a lot. It makes a difference in the salary that the producer is getting in at the end of the year. His income, when he tallies it up for the tax man, really changes with this marketplace. And so we think that it's really important that you as a producer pay attention to the markets. And we hope that we're doing a good job helping you to develop a good marketing strategy. If that is the case, and we hope that it is, the number to call is 217-244-9455. Now, we need to get those phones really ringing, because we have not two Fridays to do this, but just one Friday. We have one Monday and one Tuesday to do this, and we get to raise during Commodity Week tomorrow. So we don't have much time to get ag programming started, or ag programming pledged for here at the radio station. One of the things that we did want to remind you, that if you call in and you're one of 85 folks that would call in support of ag programming, we'll put an extra $1,000 in the back pocket of WILL. We've shortened the fund drive to bring you more programming on the air, but we need your help. AgriGold Hybrids, Grain Field Marketing, the Andersons, and Strategic Farm Marketing have all agreed that if we can get 85 contributions for the ag services here at the radio station, they'll give us an extra $1,000. Now, sometimes that sounds like a lot of money. Sometimes it doesn't sound like so much, but it makes a huge difference here. I guarantee it really does. You've got to dial that phone now, 217-244-9455. It's the number to call. Mike, we appreciate you being with us a whole lot. Thanks for being along for the program today.
You folks do a great job. Good luck, Todd.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Mike Zuzolo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Dial those phones. Dial them now at 217-244-9455.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Well, up next, did you know it's possible to sex semen? Yeah, that's right. Farmers, in particular beef and dairy cattle producers, can now choose whether the cow will throw a bull or a heifer. I'll have more on sexing semen in just a moment. A lot lot of good old wives' tales about how to get a boy or a girl, says University of Illinois animal scientist David Miller.
And yet it's been something that, although you hear a few kind of interesting stories that where, you know, if you inseminate cows facing north, you get heifer calves, and if you inseminate cows facing south, you get bull calves. There's really never been a technology until now that's really allowed people to control the sex of their offspring from animals. And so now this has just been commercially made available in the last year.
The original research that now allows beef and, to some extent, swine producers to choose the sex of an offspring was done by a USDA employee in Beltsville, Maryland. USDA holds a patent on the technology.
The procedure itself is actually involves actually separating sperm on the basis of their DNA content. So, as you know, sperm actually influences sex of the offspring. So sperm that contain a Y chromosome will produce male offspring. Sperm that contain an X will produce females. As it turns out, the Y chromosome is smaller than the X, and so sperm that contain a Y chromosome have less total DNA than sperm that contain an X chromosome.
So the process uses a machine to separate sperm based on their DNA content. A female sperm, for cattle, contains about 4% more DNA than a male sperm. The machine, which cost about $300,000, separates one at a time based on that 4% difference. It is about 90% accurate.
If you use all of this sex semen, you will get just a few calves of the wrong sex, but not very many. 1 out of 10 will be the wrong sex. So it's quite accurate.
Given that accuracy, fertility of sex semen drops off. This happens in large part because it's hard to collect enough sexed semen. For instance, one company that has commercialized the process sells artificial insemination straws containing about 2 million sexed semen. Normally, an AI straw would contain 15 to 20 million semen.
So fertility is reduced some because of that. And in fact, I recommend actually only using this sex semen on virgin heifers where conception rates are normally higher. So they don't get too much of a loss in conception rates. But if you're using boar sperm, typically more boar sperm are inseminated than cattle sperm would be. And so it would take longer to produce enough X or Y bearing sperm to get enough sperm to inseminate.
David Miller is a sperm fertility expert in the University of Illinois Department of Animal Sciences. A straw's worth of sexed bull semen, he says, will cost between $40 and $60. He cautions livestock producers not to use sexed semen on an entire herd because of its lower fertility rates. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Academy for Entrepreneurial Leadership, presenting guest speaker Paul Orfala, the founder of Kinko's and owner of Espresso Royale, speaking on industry leadership through creative style, dedication to employees, and lessons from dealing with dyslexia. The lecture begins at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, November 8th in the Spurlock Museum Auditorium.
Hey, if you haven't dialed that number yet, now's the time to do it. 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to this radio station and tell them it's in support of ag programming. Speaking of ag programming, our cash grain analyst is with us this afternoon from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, Bruce Bostard. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Hey, tell me about movement there. Guys, wrapping up corn harvest yet?
We are getting the first few people wrapping up. We were cutting beans when I think the rest of the state was cutting corn, so I'm quite a bit further ahead on bean harvest than I am on corn. I'm guessing, in the 95% range done on beans, somewhere 45% on corn, so it sounds like I'm lagging behind people not very far to the south or the west of us.
And they're happy with what they're getting in terms of yields?
I would say generally everyone's very happy with their soybean yields. Corn yields seem to be really highly variable, depending upon the variety, on what the soil type is. We're hearing a lot of variation depending on some of the genetic traits that were on the corn, whether they had fungicides on them or not. So a big variability in corn this year.
Did you bid over $3 at any point this week, and has your basis slipped after getting some cash grain marketed?
We have been over $3 several times this week. We slid just below it today at Paxton. Basis actually, no, has stayed strong from last Friday. We've improved corn 4 cents and beans 4 cents. And I would say, if anything, bean basis feels like it could get a little bit stronger.
And your expectations for the corn basis?
Corn basis is generated a lot of cash movement. I'm not sure that the job of the pipeline is to go out and generate a whole lot more nearby. Maybe we've got some more work to do, but there's been an awful lot of corn move. Spreads snapped in, and they've been trying to widen out a tad bit here, too, which says that we've got, to me, that we've gotten the job done nearby.
Your bids for the day, Bruce?
We are at 299 at Paxton. I'll catch grief on that one. Mm-hmm. And a 589 on beans.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the ag weather with Steve Hilberg, your regional newscast. Comes up after you call 217-244-9455.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Another ethanol plant is being planned for Indiana, this one in the town of Cayuga, about 35 miles north of Terre Haute. Renewable Agricultural Energy of Colorado plans to build the $145 million plant and says it will employ about 45 people. A former National Security Council advisor on energy security issues says he's reassured by opinion polls showing heightened public concern over U.S. reliance on foreign oil. But Jonathan Elkind says overall energy consumption, not foreign oil, is the nation's most serious problem. He said on WILL's Focus 580 program this morning that high energy use makes the U.S. more vulnerable to disruption by changes in foreign oil markets, as well as natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina. Republican National Committee Chairman Ken Mellman gave an upbeat assessment of his party's standing today at a visit to the Chicago suburb of Rolling Meadows. Mellman says he expects that the scandal involving former Florida Republican Congressman Mark Foley will have no impact on the elections. He says Republican House Speaker Dennis Hastert of Illinois did the right thing in pushing for an FBI and Justice Department investigation. Groundbreaking ceremonies were held in Peoria today for the first step of major renovations at Glen Oak Zoo. Phase one of the project will be devoted to African wildlife. It will recreate habitats for animals like the Red River hog, zebra, white rhinoceros, vultures, and lions. The completed renovation project will triple the size of Glen Oak Zoo, which opened in 1955. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage on WILL. Dial this number, 217-244-9455. In support of ag programming here at the radio station, we've shortened our pledge drive. We hope that you will dial the day. It's ever so important that that happens. 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support. We'd like to think you'd call in at maybe the $100 level, but $40, $100, $250, $500, whatever you're comfortable with, we will accept. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Dial that financial support at 217-244-9455. Steve Hilberg on the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Man, beautiful skies. Nice day out there today.
Yeah, it's finally nice to get rid of those clouds for a while because they're going to be back again this weekend. But, yeah, today is very nice outside, not much wind, and even at 55 degrees or so, it's actually rather comfortable out there. So hopefully some of the listeners are actually out in their fields getting some of that harvest finished up.
Yeah, I know they are. We had a cell phone call earlier to pledge their financial support to the radio station. Thank you, by the way, from the Combine. Called in at 217-244-9455. And I know they're going to want to continue to combine next week. They're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, there'll be a couple of days next week, I think, where they'll get some work in. This weekend's going to get damp again. We got another front coming through tomorrow that's going to bring some rain. Generally, it'll start out in the northwestern part of the state and then obviously slide toward the southeast as the front moves through. And that will stop things and slow things up probably tomorrow and early Sunday. And the middle of the early part of the week looks dry Monday and Tuesday. And, in fact, yesterday it looked like most of the week would be dry. But now the latest runs are showing another system coming through here. Maybe Wednesday it could trigger some showers. But that might actually not end up being a whole lot of anything. So I think the odds of having, you know, maybe 4 out of 5 good days this next coming week is pretty good. But we're still in a very active weather pattern, and it looks like next weekend could be another wet, cold weekend. So they really need to take advantage of whatever good days they get out there, because we just seem to be in this pattern where we're not going to get into a big extended period of fair weather.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us today.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, where he's the director there. Joins us here on Friday afternoons to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hey, pick up your phone right now. Dial this number, 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey, and I really appreciate it. You can pay for 1 hour of ag programming here at the radio station on the air with a $100 bill. Please do that, 217-244-9455. And for all of those who called in this half hour, we appreciate it greatly. Just because we're not going to be on the air talking about ag programming doesn't mean you can't call. Just keep doing it. Just remind them that you're calling for the ag programming. 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. It's the number to call. Have a great afternoon and a safe weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.